For this lesson, please turn to James chapter 1, verse 26. That's James chapter 1, verse 26. And underline this scripture as it is very important.
James is talking here. Any one of you who thinks religious, he's talking to the Christians here. The book of James is written to the church. And if any one of you thinks he's religious, and if you are not guarding your tongue, then you're deceiving your own heart, and your religion is useless. Let me tell you, when we get older, what happens? We cannot see pretty good, and we got to get glasses. Our eyes get dim, we can get glasses. Sometimes, when we get a little older, our kidneys fail. And of course, we can get, kidney transplant. Our heart fail, we can get a heart transplant. And there are members in our body gets older and it fails. And of course, there are transplants where you can get. Of course, one of the members of our body is the teeth. Right? Teeth begin to fall down, get deteriorated. Of course, we go to the dentist and get all the teeth pulled out, put dentures, looks young again. So we can do anything we want to. But you will always have the same tongue. That tongue cannot be transplanted. That tongue that was born with you is going to stay with you until you die. There are artificial joints made these days, but you cannot find an artificial tongue because that tongue is you. Now, the word tongue is mentioned 93 times in the Bible. It often refers to destructive power. We all fall into this category. Nobody is exempted here. From the pulpit to everybody falls into this category. We all have, because we are not in goodwill in our flesh, Apostle Paul said, so there is this tongue can be hurting to people. But also, that's one thing we need to work on as Christians, because James gave a very heavy scripture, we need to bridle the tongue. So that's something that we have to work with prayer and dedication and commitment to God. And we need to realize this is one of our weaknesses. And if we don't realize this is one of our weaknesses, there's no way God is going to work in your tongue. Because you don't admit that you have a weakness. In Psalm chapter 64 verse 3, Psalmist said the tongue is a sword. It's a sword. Who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. What does a sword do? What does a sword do? It is there to hurt somebody. It is there to wound somebody. It is there to kill somebody. And the tongue, I'll tell you, has killed people more than all the wars put together. Because of the tongue, there has been divorces, there has been family problems, there has been fights, there has been murder because of the tongue. And there has been conflict, there has been wars because of this little member in our body that is the tongue. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Our body belongs to the Lord. At the same time, there is destructive power within us. And a lot of times, you know, the tongue, some people love to give some sarcastic jabs with the tongue, you know. It's like jabbing somebody. Very sarcastic, little jabs. You know what a jab is? If you see two boxers fighting each other, and there's little jab, put a little jab and run away, you know, go away. That's what the tongue does. Little jabs, sarcastic jabs, which hurts people. And sometimes the person who is hurting thinks, I don't think I can take this any much longer, because I'm getting jabbed. This person is killing me with the tongue. And sometimes you cannot take it anymore. There is a critical tongue also. Sometimes you always see the bad of others. You don't see anything about good of any other person. Everything is negative, bad. And always there to criticize and make judgments. When they jab with their tongue, it hurts someone. They don't even realize that someone became their victim. They are unaware there is a wounded person there. James chapter 3 verse 1. I'm going to give you some scriptures now. If you turn with me to James chapter 3. Let's go from verse 1 to... My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Okay, he starts with the teachers here. He starts with the people who know the truth, who can be who are teachers. Okay, start with the pastors, starts with the teachers, starts with the ministers. Okay, and you are going to have stricter judgment, for we will all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in a word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits and horses' mouths, and they may obey us. We turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so huge and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by really a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. James is giving some fantastic example. Look at the ship. Huge. But it steers. It's a small little, rudder. Small. Our body. It's big. I mean, when you compare to the tongue, to our body, the tongue is so small. But our whole body is guided with our tongue, what we talk and so forth like that. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a great forest a little fire kindles. Tongue is, you know, is so small, and a forest can be small. And when somebody strikes a match, a little fire can burn the whole forest. In the same way, one little poison tongue can hurt many people. It can really destroy the body. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That means sin. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire by hell. What does that little tongue do? You hurt somebody, you accuse somebody, you slander somebody, you gossip on somebody. Hey, it affects everybody. It's the fires of hell. But verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and bird and of reptile creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. We can even tame elephants, right? To the biggest mammals, elephants, to horses, we can tame a wild horse. But the little member of your own body, the tongue, cannot be tamed. Full of deadly poison. Verse 9 says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. We have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh. We can come here to church today, and just in front here, we can sing praises to Lord, we can pray, we can read the word, and we can be like saints. And after that, we say, okay, the lunch is ready, and we put all the lunch on the table. Then you see in the kitchen what's going on. Gossip. That's the place. In the kitchen, there's gossip going on. There's slander. There's backbiting. Everything is going on in the kitchen. I know. Gotta be careful. Especially within the body. As Robert said, you don't hurt anybody here. You don't slander. You don't gossip. You can hurt people. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, it's sensual. It is what? Demonic. Hey? It doesn't come from God. It is demonic. It's not heavenly. It's earthly. It's fleshly. It's demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion, every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then what? Peaceable, gentle. You see the difference now? There is peace. There's gentleness. There's not conflict, fighting, anger. It will yield full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without what? Hypocrisy. You can be a hypocrite. Pretty strong words. I gave the whole context there. That's a mouthful. And those are pretty bitter words. We got to swallow them. I just say, well, I don't like it. It's in the Bible. I don't want it here, but it's there for us. That's for Christians. James is writing to the Christians here. And here we think, well, it's not for me, it's for somebody else, this portion. No, I'll tell you. This is for everybody, every single person. You might say, I'm glad that this is being taught. You know, so and so should hear this. No. It is for every individual, for all of us. Because the Bible says we need to grow in our salvation. Now, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. James, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Peter talked about this too. And Peter said, for he that will love life and see good days. Let's see. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So we need to refrain in speaking evil. 1 John chapter 3 verse 18. and said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. But because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Chapter 3, verse 18. Says here, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Talking, if you love somebody, okay, not only in tongue, we got to really practice that. So, sometimes we sing that song, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer praise. For a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." At the same time, we sing praises to the Lord. With the same time, we curse and we backbite and we gossip. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 8 says, "Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in the heart he lays and his way." It's talking about your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor, someone that is closest to you. Your neighbor can be within the church. This is what is, you know, it's okay. Sometimes we see this all the time that is happening in the jobs, right? At your work. There's always gossip. There's always slander. There's backbiting. But it's in the church too. It's here. It's within the fellowship too. That's not right. It's a cancer. It's a poison. We got to take it out. Otherwise, it's going to spread. We should not speak evil of our body members, that is, our neighbors. What did Jesus say? First thing is, the most important commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Then he says, love your enemy as you love yourself. Not to speak evil against your neighbor. Love your neighbor, not to speak against your neighbor, but to love him. We need to remember that man is made in the very image of God. And once you are regenerated, you are in that very image of God. And you are bought with a price. And in your body you do not sin, and especially this little member. You need to be very careful, because you are honoring God. You give glory to God at the same time. You don't put another tongue to use the bad words with the same tongue. You can bring hurt to people. In Proverbs, there are so many scriptures in the Proverbs on the tongue. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 23 says, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue." The problem is, when somebody is gossiping, there's always two people are involved in gossip, you know that? Not one, two. One is gossiping, the other one loves to hear. One has a tongue of poison, gossiping about somebody. The other one has a big ear, wants to listen because it's good. It's juicy. Small, more. I want to hear. I'll tell you, it's demonic. It is from Satan. The main thing is, somebody comes with a gossip, what you have to do is to avoid him. Don't listen to gossip. If somebody is bringing gossip, don't entertain gossip. Don't listen to the gossip. Why? It is the listener who is going to listen to the gossip. He's the one who is going to partake in the gossip. Because there's a demand. Because of that, there is gossip, because there's somebody always there to listen to gossip. That's why the person, hey, let me tell you, within this body, there are some people who will not come and gossip to some people. They will always go to the person that they know would like to listen to gossip. Because there are two people involved, I said, because there are some people who like to listen to gossip. But they will not go to somebody and gossip about somebody else. Because they know that person is going to rebuke that person. They are not going to listen. They always go to the one who is there with a big ear. If somebody is gossiping about somebody, the one who speaks evil of others to you, I'll tell you, will most likely speak evil of you to the others too. That's very true. Always be careful in what you say about others, because it can be said, it can be also used against you. These are some things that we need to prevent in gossiping. If somebody is gossiping, don't entertain, don't listen to that person. Number two, that's number one. Number two, if defend the one spoken against. If somebody comes and speak against somebody over here, don't entertain. Defend the person who is going to be the victim. You need to defend the victim. Because as Christians, we are to speak evil of no one. As Christians, we must always think the best of others and give them the benefit of the doubt, because a lot of times we don't know. A lot of times what we gossip, we don't know what the other person is going through in his mind. So we don't know really. So if you don't know, don't come to judgment and criticism and, you know, that person is not there, come to gossip. Because we don't know. So we need to give the benefit of the mind, benefit of the doubt. So we need to defend that person. If we strongly defend the one spoken against, the gospel will probably become discouraged, because you are not a listener anymore. You don't want to listen to gossip anymore. And that gospel will quit. I don't want to go to him. Titus chapter 3 verse 2. Apostle Paul said, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humanity to all men. Hey, that is Christian life. You don't speak evil of no one. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31. Ephesians 4. There's no 31. Oh yeah. 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We need to be very careful with the tongue, because we can hurt people. We need to be really careful when we speak. It's not good to the body. And the third thing, if somebody comes and speak against somebody, tell them to go and speak to that person. In Matthew chapter 18 verse 15, Jesus did not say, if your brother sins against you, go and tell his fault to everybody. He did not say that. Jesus said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell his fault between you and him alone. Then, if he's not going to hear, then he said, take two or three with you. Then, still if he's not going to listen, tell it to the church. You understand? People who gossip, they lack wisdom. They lack wisdom. Psalm 15, the psalmist said, Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. So there we have walking and talking. Walking and talking. Walking uprightly and speaking the truth in your heart. And in verse 3 says, he does not slander with his tongue. Psalm 15:3. Nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend. Yeah, pretty heavy words here. We are talking here. This is within the fellowship. Everybody is a friend here. We get together, we hold our hands and pray. When somebody is sick, we pray. We get into little groups and pray. And soon after that is finished, there's gossip and backbiting. Not even 5 minutes. There's, you know, hurting each other. It's, the tongue comes like a sword and, you know, jabs and sarcastic words and gossip and everything going on. Just finished praying. That's not true religion. And James is, psalmist is saying, verse 3, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend. Believe, a lot of our prayers, I'll tell you, God is not going to hear that kind of prayer. We are praying and praising God in 1 minute, and soon afterward we are cursing men. There's fight. There's anger. Criticizing people. 1 minute our tongues are speaking about holy things, heavenly things. You know? And the next minute we are talking unholy things. And David cried out in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. I'll tell you. Our speech shows where our heart is. You cannot cover up everything, the tongue, okay? Everything comes from the heart. Everything comes from the heart. You cannot cover up the heart. If there is bitterness in the heart, it will come up with your tongue. If there's anger in your heart, it will come with your tongue. If there's love in the heart, it will come with the tongue. If there's hatred in the heart, it will come with the tongue. No wonder James says that the tongue cannot be controlled. The heart is engineering all that what the tongue has to say. The heart is the factory that produces all these evil things, and the tongue is the showcase of the heart. On the other hand, there is Proverbs chapter 12 verse 18 says, there is that speaketh like piercing of a sword. People, you can use your tongue like a sword, hurting people. You know, it's not easy to get hurt emotionally. And the other person who hurt, they didn't even know that that person got hurt. And they just mind their business. And suddenly hurt somebody else. And here we got wounded people all over. They're trampling them and walking as if nothing is happening. It can be a piercing like a sword, the tongue. But the tongue of the wise is what? Healing. The tongue of the wise is healing. It brings healing. The weak people will get encouraged. There is healing to the body. A few kind words can change a very sad face and make that sad face to a happy face. That's how the Christian should be. Just a little few kind words can make somebody happy and make that person a happy person. What a joy it is to see someone cheered up with a sincere word of encouragement. Words can have great healing power with the tongue also. Hey, use your tongue. Now, you all have different gifts. And a lot of times, we criticize and judge people from my perspective. This is how he should do, because this is what I think. That is wrong. Absolutely wrong. Who are you to criticize your own brother and judge your brother? You don't know what is going through in that brother's heart, what is going in his mind, and what is happening in him. That's why as Christians, we should not do that. We need to speak kindly to people. And we need to encourage one another with our tongue. God has given this tongue, huh? For use it for His glory. I'll tell you. When there are too many words, sin is not absent, huh? When the tongue comes with too many words, be careful what you talk. Some people cannot keep their tongue under control. They love to talk. I'll tell you, when you keep on talking too many things, you come to that gray area then now. When you come to that gray area, you step over the limits, now you're in sin. Because you are talking too many words. And a lot of people want to come closer to that gray area, because that gray area is the most, you know, juicy area. So the tongue can be used for good or bad. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So we need to have self-control with the tongue, because the book of Galatians, it says, when the Holy Spirit controls our life, He will produce in us the fruit of love, joy, peace, and self-control. Think twice before you talk. Whenever you get angry, a lot of times, you know, why somebody talks, hurts somebody, is because of anger. You have this hot anger inside in you. And when you hear something about somebody, you don't like it, the first thing comes in, even without thinking, boom, comes like a sword and hurt that person. You need to control our anger as Christians. Calm down. Remember our Lord. When He went to the cross, He was openly ridiculed how they put, you know, covered His face and hid Him and said, who prophesied to you? Tell me, you teacher, you know everything. Hey, what did Jesus do? If He wanted to, could have got just one angel to, you know, wipe all of those people out. He never opened His mouth. The Bible says He was gentle. Meaning, the word gentle there is strength under control. Why we don't have, a lot of times we get hot tempered, you get angry, boom, it comes, you know. You know why? I'll tell you, because you have no reverence to God. You don't see God. You don't see God. If Jesus is there right in front of you, if you see the awesome presence of God, the holiness of God, and you get hot with somebody, you will never talk about that person because you see God. And you say, I don't see God. You have no reverence to God, no respect to God. You take authority over His word, and you talk about evil, you're coming against the very authorization of God. Because you don't believe. You have no reverence to God. That's why we tell you to study, study. Just not reading the Bible. Get in the Word and study. See who God is. He's absolutely to be reverenced. And we need to tremble at His feet. And we need to take our lives seriously for what He has done for us on the cross. And don't loosely just talk. Because the Bible says we need to live that open life before God. Open life. We need to be open. Our hearts are open before Him. And we need to realize that He sees everything. And a lot of people think that sin, from man's perspective, sin is the result of when something happens. When something happens, the result, and we say, oh, that person sinned. God doesn't see that way. You know how God sees? He sees the cause of sin. God sees the cause. Even before it happened, the cause that is in your mind. Even before you slash bad words, hurt somebody, God sees the sin even before, because it's already in your heart, in your mind. He sees the cause. Remember who God is. And that's why we need to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the problem is, there's no fear of God. So that's why we talk, we hurt people, we gossip people. Soon after when something is finished, this becomes like a religious thing here. You know, you come to church, you have your little religious thing here. You know, and you got your little Christianity going on. And after that, everything is forgotten. Go to the kitchen, talk about this one, that one. Somebody else at work, or this one, everything. Tell you, if somebody likes football, he will talk about football. If somebody likes fishing, that person will love to talk on fishing. If somebody loves, singing, he will always like to talk about singing. But if somebody loves God, he will talk on God. And I'll tell you, it's so sad to say that our love to God has become only within a period in the church. That's all. After we go, we can have our little prayers, you know, within ourselves. God, I love you, this, that, or give me a good day, I want to follow you today, and everything. We can have our own prayer meeting with God and so forth like that. You can read your Bible, have your devotion and everything, and come to Bible studies and sing songs. At the same time, it's not a lifestyle anymore. You have God only whenever you want to. You understand? You go to God only when you want to have meditation. You have God. You read the Bible. Now I want God. So you want to have a prayer meeting? I have God. You come to church? I have God. But not in the kitchen. He's not there. Or not outside. He's not there. Got to be careful. Need to think twice before you speak. There's a Scottish... the Scottish people have some proverbs, and there's a Scottish proverb that says, keep your tongue a prisoner and your body will go free. A long tongue will shorten friendships. We need to have our vertical relationship to God, then the horizontal will come within us. Relationship. Some of you might wonder, How come I don't have a good relationship here? Because I wonder why. Look in the mirror. What you are talking? Are you hurting people? I wonder why that person is not talking to me anymore. David said in Psalm 39 verse 1, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with muscle. Hey, I'll tell you, we usually think of other parts of our body as being agencies for sin, but not our tongue. As David said, I guard my mouth. A lot of times we think it's the hand. You know, my eyes are so evil. You know, everything is, we see every part, other parts are evil, but never see the tongue as evil. David saw that he was a man who was God, he was a man after God's own heart. And what did he pray and say? I will guard my mouth. God, help me to guard my mouth. This tongue needs to be guarded. What is to be guarded? Meaning it's not loose. You don't talk the way you want to talk anymore. Just because you have freedom in the tongue, you don't keep on talking. You need to guard your tongue. Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 says, let your speech always. It doesn't say only sometimes. Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 says, let your speech always be with what? Grace. Seasoned as it with what? Salt. Always. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it with salt. Remember, there's no pepper there. No pepper. Sometimes, when anger gets into our speech, it spoils everything because we want to put a little pepper into that. You know, we talk very nicely, then at the same time, we want a little pepper to hurt somebody. So we talk very nicely, at the same time we give a little jabs to that person and hurts that person. You know, God sees your heart. He sees your mind. He sees the cause. So don't deceive yourself. You think that you got away. No, you didn't. At the end, you become the fool. As I said before, if we truly love God, we will talk godly things. And tongue need to be controlled, and we need to fall at God's feet and bow down at Him, because our God is a holy God. And one day, every word that you have spoken, every thought that you have thought, God can bring that to open if He wants to. That's why we need to fear God. Remember, the children of Israel, they were in Egypt slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. To remember, as a slave, they were whipped and they were not given good food to eat. And as a slave, they were going through extreme pain and agonizing hardships. Because of God's mercy, He brought them out of Egypt. And God gave them freedom. And God went with them together. God was with them together in the wilderness. I'll tell you, when they had this freedom and God was with them, what did they do? They began to mumble, grumble, gossip. Can you remember? They gossip against even Moses. They slandered against Moses. What did this man do? What did God do? He killed him. Our God is a holy God. It all begins with the tongue. He, at the same time here, hey, we got a lot of freedom to worship the Lord. When we are going, we don't even realize, understand how the early Christians went through extreme difficulties, pain, agony. And here, we don't go through pain and agony. We are in luxury, extreme luxury compared to those people. And we saw some pictures in Mongolia yesterday. And how those people, what do they have? Cattle, they have camels and horses. I am poor to the max. And here we are with all the comforts, huh? All the freedom to worship the Lord. All the books here lining up from Calvin's to Spurgeon to everybody. And all the doctrines and the theology, you know, everything to the max. We got prayer meetings. We got Bible studies. We got everything going on. At the same time, because we are like the children of Israel, the Lord is here. In the wilderness, we had that freedom, and that freedom, we are using this tongue to hurt people, to gossip against people, to slander against people. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Since you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Paul is saying, "I beseech you," meaning I'm begging you. Brethren, talking to the Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I'll tell you, he's talking on a sacrifice here. Who does the sacrifice? Who does the sacrifice? Huh? Only a priest can do a sacrifice. Know that? The priest does the sacrifice, but we are called in the book of Peter a royal priesthood. Where does the sacrifice do? Where does the priest do the sacrifice? In the altar. Where is your altar? We are the royal priesthood. Where is your altar? Huh? Everywhere. not only here, everywhere. I'll tell you. What is the sacrifice here? Present your what? Bodies. That means including your tongue. Including your tongue needs to be sacrificed as a pleasing, as a holy, acceptable to God. Use your tongue for God's glory. Let's pray.